podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Donny Review system, Diogis. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Hi there, and welcome to Scout the Game Week. Scout the Game Week is Fantasy Football Scout's weekly podcast brought to you by the Scout Network. In each episode, we will look back at the game week we have just played to assess what we can learn to help us in the next round of fixtures. I'm Ryan from Football Chatbox. Let's scout the game week. This week, I'm joined by Mark Jublin. Thanks so much for joining me today. How did Game Week 2 treat you?
Hi, Ryan. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah, the game week was pretty good for me, I think. Solid start. I got 76 points added to the 80 of last week. So currently up to about 85K, which is much better than last season. I think last season in general was pretty horrific, but it ended with 9 green arrows, so it wasn't too bad. And it looks like that momentum has continued. And I think having Kyle Walker as a double Man City defence has gone quite well. Martinelli has been great having him. He just looks a sensational bargain. And Kulusevski was chosen for the wrong reasons. He was probably chosen out of fear for not having Kane. They always say you shouldn't really pick players for sort of fear of missing out. You should use sensible reasons, like do you really think he's going to do better than Luis Diaz, etc. But it kind of worked on the opening weekend despite that. So yeah, a pretty good week. Nico Williams' clean sheet was on the bench, but I think that's pretty much the case for almost all of his owners, so it's hard to get too upset about that. And probably the best thing is going into game week 3, there's 2 free transfers, 0.5 million left in the bank, and a lot of the price points are pretty covered. So, yeah, it's a strong start, I think.
Yeah, so looking very solid. I mean, with regards to Kulusevski, I don't think there's anything wrong with like covering a Spurs asset. Like, if you can't afford Sun and Kane, I mean, and you still feel like the Spurs fixture is a really good fixture, might as well get the third best option at that point. So, I don't think there was anything wrong with that. But I agree with you. Go ahead.
No, well, the only reason, if it wasn't for Richarlison's suspension on the opening weekend, I probably wouldn't have even risked that. But because we pretty much knew he definitely had that opening weekend, thought, well, you're allowed to start with a couple of short-term punts in what could be an aggressive, because we have 2 wild cards fairly early on to use, so it means you can afford to be more short-term aggressive with transfers. But it just so happened that he hauled, and you know, if the early Saturday team news reveals that he gets to start against Wolves as well, then even better. Every week from now is a bonus with him.
Yep, fair enough. And the double City defense coming, I guess, is fruitful to a lot of managers who've gone like big at the back. I've gone just one single City defender, and it's not enough at the moment because I've got only Nathan Ake. But we'll have to see. I'm looking to try and get Cancelo as well because of the amount of points he gets does a huge damage to my rank by not owning him. So we'll see. It's been more fruitful than the double Liverpool defense at least so far.
Oof, yeah. Is that what you, do you have double Liverpool?
No, I just have all single. I've gone with a 3-man draft I started off with.
It was very close to doing that actually, but sort of chickened out of it because I was thinking, well, the midfield, it feels like there was a big void in sort of, sort of had Salah, cheap midfielders, but wasn't able to get to the middle guys.
And, fair enough. Well, yeah, I've got my third premium was Sun, so I'm hoping that the upcoming game week, where Spurs' fixture do improve, that he'll be useful, hopefully. Let's see.
Oh, he's great, son. He's just probably, in terms of all-time, favourite FPL asset. Mm-hmm. He's got to be up there. Yeah. Really enjoyed having him, just like Sergio Aguero in those days.
Always a great player to have.
Two legends, yeah.
Okay, so let's get started with like the first game of the weekend, right? So Aston Villa faced Everton, and the main news for fantasy managers was that Liam Bailey was benched, and Watkins was back in the lineup, which saw Aston Villa actually do much more better than they did in game week one. So looking at your squad as well, you also have Liam Bailey. Do you plan to move him out of the squad now that you have two free transfers as well? Or do you plan to keep him? And let's say if you plan to move him out, do you have any options lined up for him?
The plan is to sell him. The fear was always that this would happen.
Yeah,
it's one of a few traps. I kind of got lulled into the Pedro Neto trap as well. But at least he's starting games, because with Bailey, I think when it broke that he was going to be on the bench here, I sort of tried to come up with ways to be optimistic. Like, it was at home to Everton last season where he came off the bench, scored, assisted, got injured. And in preseason against Man United, he also came on at half time and changed the game. So there was always some false hope that he would come on and do that again, but he didn't. And I think especially his price is most likely going to drop by the end of the week. So I'm personally going to sell, especially because Buendia scored. So that just sort of pushes him even further out of the lineup. So I think ideally it would be for a Brentford midfielder, but I know Justus Silva was kind of the popular one right now.
Exactly.
He's already risen in price, but I'm not so sure myself. Strangely enough, with him in pre-season, was strongly considering De Silva, and now that he's scored twice in two games, gone off De Silva. That's just an odd one. I think it's because they were his only two shots.
Yeah. Even so low XG. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And one of them was a De Gea error.
Yeah.
And even in the second game, he was taken off by the hour mark. Yeah. And at some point, Mikael Damsgaard's going to get introduced as well. Mm-hmm. So it depends what you want from that fifth midfielder. If you want someone who is purely going to raise team value, he's probably going to do that. Mm. But if you want someone with reliable starts, you can't really guarantee that's the way.
Yeah, fair enough.
It'll be.
Yeah, because he's been the talk of the town, Justus Silva. But people will mention his low XG and also, like you mentioned, the low minutes as well. So whether he can keep it up, we don't really know. But there aren't that many options as well in that price bracket. So I was looking at replacing Liam Bailey today as well, because his price will, at the time we're recording it, his price hasn't fallen yet. But there's a chance that it will fall maybe tomorrow. So for me, I was like, okay, let's look at a couple options. What do I really want? Do I want to save like a 0.5 million and use that 0.5 million somewhere else by getting like a fifth midfielder that's not going to be playing too much? So I've gone and got Harrison Reed from Fulham. And I was looking at his minutes. His minutes seem to be guaranteed. So at least I know I'll get like 2 points at least. His average touch position is also not too deep. It's at the halfway line for both game weeks. So I was like, okay, that's not too bad. And I'm not expecting too much apart from just like 2 points maybe per game. And I'm most likely not going to use him as well. I'll just free up that funds to probably use it somewhere in the defense or forward line. So that's what I've done right now, but we'll see how it goes.
Is that alongside Andreas?
Yes. Alongside Andres Pereira.
The double Fulham midfield dream.
Yeah. But I'll most likely be playing Andreas or Nico Williams whenever needed. And Harrison Reed will probably be most likely my third sub.
That's fair. There are some good... even if you don't downgrade to 4.5 and go 5 million, there's not a lot there.
Yeah.
There's maybe Dewsbury Hall.
Yeah, exactly. Not too many options. Lerma, but like minutes, not really sure. I mean, in terms of minutes wise, there aren't that many options. and in terms of getting points as well. I guess Drewsbury Hall is probably your best option for 5 million. But even then, are you going to be getting the same returns you got in Game Week 1 every week? Probably not.
Yeah, it's another one where it's sort of trying to guess whether it's points chasing or a genuinely consistent attacking returns. It's I know the whole game is about predicting the future, but when someone has a rare goal, it's kind of hard to know. You sort of really have to look at the stats and average position and stuff like that and see is that a change in tactics from Brendan Rodgers, or is that just he scored a goal?
Yeah.
I think when Bournemouth, because they did beat Aston Villa on the opening day of the season and proved that they are capable, if certainly at home occasionally that they could be quite good. When their fixtures pick up around game week 6, I think it is, you've got the new signing Marcus Tavernier, 5 million on set pieces. And that's essentially what Andreas is doing for less money. So if you already have one and need another, it could be an option, but it's incredibly differential to suggest him right now.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see how it does as well, right? With regards to that. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
It's based on theory rather than actual data.
Yeah, so that's true. So for now, probably not that many options, but I guess it depends on where you want to use the funds with moving him. It's probably the conclusion.
Yeah, it's kind of in my team, it's kind of different because I used him as a fifth mid rather than a fourth midfielder.
Yeah.
With the logic that he can sort of step in while Kulusevski faced Chelsea and while Neto faces Tottenham at the weekend. Okay. It was kind of good to have a 12th man there. So whereas I think a lot of people already have Bailey and Andreas
Pereira. Yeah, okay. So you have the option to straight away go to Andreas Pereira if you want to.
Yeah, so it's most likely him. But then again, I think he got a slight...
Yeah, he has a yellow knock marker on him. So we'll have to see whether he's fit for game week 3 or not. I'm assuming he will be, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, it's sort of a race between do we get an update on him before Bailey drops?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a tough one.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to the City game. Manchester City beat Bournemouth 4-0, and while managers might have expected a scoreline like that, they probably wouldn't have expected Haaland to come away with only one assist from it. So Pep mentioned in his post-match that his players will need to start getting used to the fact that they now have a number 9 in the box, and that they will need to learn how to square it to him. So do we think Haaland has still some way to go before being able to be a strong captaincy choice in a majority of fixtures like Salah? Or will the points always be shared amongst the City midfielders like they have been done before? Or not even City midfielders, but like City attackers in general.
It's frustrating. Did you see Phil Foden not square the ball?
Exactly. That's the one I think Pep mentioned that he needs to square it to him.
Yeah, so all of a sudden that goes in and Haaland is the king. So it's kind of hard to say because there were the same sort of doubt as after the Community Shield, after Haaland missed that chance. And next week he scored a brace at West Ham. So, and people doubted Darwin Nunez in preseason, and then he scored, I think, was it 4 goals against Leipzig in a friendly and did well on the opening day. And then got himself sent off last night. So yeah, it's. I think people are looking at the fact that I think Haaland only had eight touches in the game.
Yeah, and I think only two passes in total.
Two passes. One of them was kickoff.
Yes, and one was the assist.
And what was that? So, you could say, well, if he's only passed twice and he's assisted once, that's a pretty decent rate.
Fair enough.
I think it probably will be shared out with Man City, but sharing Man City's points could still be quite fruitful because of who they are.
Yeah.
Pep has already said that the playing style is going to evolve now that there's a
number
figurehead.
Yeah, exactly.
Number 9. So I think because his ownership's gone up so much since the opening day, it'd kind of be scared to go without. In terms of captaincy, I think the way the fixtures have landed for the next couple of weeks, people might not naturally be going for Haaland as captain anyway. So certainly by then we'll have a better set of data to sort of judge his captaincy prospects. Yep.
Fair enough. I think we'll have to... Well, he did eventually outscore Salah. That was the main competition this week. But it'll probably take a bit more time for, I guess, City to kind of get used to the fact that there is someone always going to be in that box compared to before when they were playing with a false nine. Might not necessarily have someone in the box always. But we'll see. He still probably might take a bit of time, I think, to adjust. But in terms of matching Salah for like, we can confidently captain him, I think I need to see a bit more data, at least from my side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the biggest, the other concern with Haaland over time is that when the midweek fixtures come in.
Yeah, that's something we'll have to see.
There was that comment in that the Athletic article where they said that part of the convincing him to sign was that he would be getting his minutes managed, and that's not great for FPL reasons. So I'm going to wait for it to happen before panicking, but it's definitely something to consider when it comes to captaincy and general selection.
Fair enough. Okay, so let's move on to the Arsenal game. Gabriel Jesus ended up with a massive haul of 2 goals and 2 assists on his home debut. What did you think about his performance? And do you think he should be in the talk for captaincy for Game Week 3?
Yeah, it's a fantastic performance. His ownership was so like eye-wateringly high going into the first game week, like levels we've not seen before. Only for him to sort of naturally blank on the opening day. So to get 19 points there, I think that's just reestablished how good of an option he is and how well that £8 million price could be made a mockery of pretty soon. And as a captaincy contender, yeah, because when I think people were comparing at the start of the season, whether to go Kane or Haaland, they were saying, oh, well, it's because game three captaincy, Kane has Wolves and therefore Kane. But Jesus against Bournemouth arguably is the one. And it's easy to use the old Man United as Salah's opponent's jokes about how he has the easier game, but it's not really, is it? The trip to Bournemouth is a great fixture for him. And yeah, I think with his ownership, he's a very strong contender. The only thing is that Salah does have a strong record against Manchester United. Some people maybe don't put stock in the past data like that, but if players do have favourite opponents, it's sort of a mental game, really. That they'll probably go into the match pretty confident of it. But certainly, Jesus could easily be in the lead for captaincy.
Yep.
Are you thinking of that?
Because I look at it this way, like Arteta tries to play his Arsenal side in a similar way to how City play. And obviously, Arsenal are no City, and they'll probably face the same level of a deep backline that Bournemouth played against City. So we'll have to see whether the playing styles can be in a situation where Arsenal can get the same amount of goals like Bournemouth, City did. Whether they can overload Bournemouth's backline and try and find chances. But without knowing that, it's going to be hard to tell. I think this game week we'll probably see a lot of divide in terms of captaincy. I still think he's a good option, given the form he's on. We knew what we were getting before the season started. Like his ownership was really high because of the fact that he had a really good preseason. Arsenal's opening fixtures were also really good. So I know he blanked in game week one, but even in game week one, he looked pretty good and did have like a couple chances to get some returns as well from there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. He's in the same way that Kane blanked game week one and Salah blanked on Monday night. It happens to everyone. And yeah, he did look good against Palace despite that. So yeah, he's a fantastic option for captaincy and seriously considering it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll touch on Salah as well when we get to like the looking at game week 3 and all the captaincy stuff as well. But I want to move on to Nottingham Forest. So their first home game back in the Premier League, Nottingham Forest beat West Ham 1-0. For fantasy managers, Nico Williams posted a non-penalty XGI of 0.60, which I think was the second highest in that game. And you mentioned you had him as well on the bench. I've got him as well on the bench. The question is, could he be a good starter next week for those who have Leon Bailey or a Neto?
That's probably in terms of plans for next week, that's a big development because we've already seen that Nottingham Forest have the ability to keep a clean sheet.
Mm.
They've already got one on the board, and not only that, but they've got a wing back there in Williams who had 5 goal attempts, which until, haven't checked after the Liverpool game on Monday, but it's 5 goal attempts so far as the joint most of all defenders.
Mm.
And his XGI is right up there amongst all defenders, no matter what the price. And they're against an Everton whose only goal has been an own goal.
Yep, that's.
And they don't have a striker.
Yeah.
Basically. So, and he's on set pieces. I think he's on some corners and free kicks.
I believe so, yes.
So that's kind of the complete package for a £4 million defender. And yeah, all of a sudden, with Andreas maybe potentially being a doubt, it could be quite a strong week for going 5 at the back. If that's the way their back line looks. I'm not normally a fan of 5 at the back, but that's such a good fixture for Williams, both defensively and offensively.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of a sudden that's he's got the data, he's got the clean sheet, he's got set pieces, and the opponent doesn't seem like they're in a good place right now. So, yeah.
He's very tempting because they've now, like, even West Ham is not a team that's easy to, like, one, beat and also to keep a clean sheet against. So that's probably more assuring the fact that they can go, even though it's an away game for Everton. It kind of gives you a bit more confidence given that, like you mentioned, Everton haven't really scored a goal. The only goal they got was from an own goal. They did post some good levels of XG numbers against Villa. But even then, with no striker, and I think the manager for Nottingham Forest is also pretty good. So, like, I'm not going to... It might not be an easy game, but I wouldn't be too worried about, like, not starting him, I guess. Especially given the fact that Leon Bailey, we don't know if he'll start the third game or not. Andreas Pereira has that question mark over him. So it's not the worst situation for managers to be in, I guess, to play him.
It's the battle of the £4 million wingbacks, really, because Everton have
Patterson.
But he's on much less ownership, but it could be the same for him as well, really. If you have either one of those two, it's probably a good game to play them.
Mm-hmm.
The one other thing about Williams is that although Forest did keep West Ham out, there was a bit of luck involved, maybe, in terms
penalty
of...
penalty and everything.
All of that, like the penalty, disallowed goals, the XG, all that lot. It was maybe... the clean sheet was registered, but most of the time that wouldn't happen.
Yeah, fair enough. There is a level of...
100 times, it wouldn't happen, but... you could use that logic for so many reasons. The fact is, he got the clean sheet, played well, 5 goal attempts from 2 games.
I guess at the £4 million price line, the fact that you can potentially get a clean sheet and potentially get attacking returns is what is quite tempting, I guess.
It's the new John Lundstrom.
Yeah, fair enough. I hope so. We'll see. All right, moving on to the London derby. Chelsea faced Spurs in a game that ended 2-2. Were there any players that caught your eye in that game? Apart from the regulars, like Reece James.
Well, certainly that game did catch the eye in general, but mostly for the managers.
Yeah.
Take away the the heavily owned players like James and the Spurs guys, I think it's got to be Cucurella, really. Mm. 5 million. He assisted Koulibaly's goal. What a volley as well. Wow.
He tried it again as well, and I was like, whoa, this guy.
So good. So that shows that he's on set pieces. He's seemingly ahead of Chilwell right now, because Tuchel's quote on Chilwell was that after his long injury, he lacks a bit of rhythm and feeling to sort of be back into this. And he was in Chelsea's development squad match on Monday. So it certainly seems like right now it's Cucurella's spot. And even if Chilwell does come in, he'll just go to left centre back.
Yeah, exactly.
Cucurella. So it depends if they do sign Wesley Fofana or any other sort of big money centre back. And I guess they're likely to, but if they didn't somehow, Cucurella is fairly nailed on. I think it has to be said. And with the bonus of being on some set piece duties, that's a great option. Beyond that, it's hard to say. I mean, Perisic did come on and get his assist, but we just don't know yet. Again, if there's some early team news leaks ahead of Spurs on Saturday, that could tempt some into doing a last minute transfer to Perisic. But apart from that, just Cucurella for me. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. He is the more tempting one, Cucurella, for 5 million. But I think the Perisic one is probably for me. I just need to wait and see, because one, we still don't know whether he will. Like, Spurs fans are expecting him to start for game week 3, but we're still not sure, right? We can't be fully confirmed of that. The other thing is the upcoming Champions League fixtures and midweek fixtures, whether there'll be rotation involved in that as well. And then the question arises, will Perisic play the UCL fixtures, or will he be playing the Premier League fixtures? So I think there's a bit too many doubts right now with regards to him. I'm happy to kind of wait on it and see before trying to get him. But at the same time, if you owned him, would you start him though? Or would you sell him?
If it gets closer to the deadline and there's still no clue whether you would play or not, I would still keep him for now. But yeah, if I feel like the appeal is already very much dampened down. I think the appeal with Perisic was start with him game week 1, he'll be brilliant, he'll score in the first game, and then it's his place to lose. And we'll worry about rotation when the time comes. But that time is getting close, and he still hasn't started. So if you've got him, it's maybe worth keeping him for this week just in case. Sessegnon was substituted fairly early on in the second half, I think, against Chelsea. So it could be time. And then Perisic came on and assisted, so it could have switched back in his favour. So maybe just stick with him for this week, see what happens. But yeah, it just might not happen with him.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think it's both of them. Perisic and Cucurella are the main two talking points, I guess. Reece James showed that whether he plays right centre back or right wing back, he'll somehow try and get us an attack in return.
But yeah, even as right centre back, he was still finding himself in some great positions. Mm. Still doing the crosses, like in the half spaces, maybe instead of the width. So yeah, it was very good to have. I think last season he was a bit of a. Wasn't having a great time with Reece James last season.
Oh, okay.
As soon as I took him out, he scored 21 points against Newcastle.
Yeah, I had all his halts and blanks last season.
Yeah.
So I saw both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, you sometimes have those players who you think are your sort of enemy, your FPL enemy, and that was definitely James last season, because it was just in and out. It was always the opposite of what you wanted it to be. So it was refreshing to be able to start with him and start with two returns from him.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's how I know that it's been a good start, to have Reece James while he returns, wow.
Yeah, and not just ones and zeros.
Yeah.
Fair. Okay, let's turn our attention to Game Week 3. Let's talk captaincy. We touched on it before as well. Now, we will probably, this is where I think the Liverpool game will also be touched on slightly, but like, who do you think, for in terms of Game Week 3 captaincy options, which players are probably the best options? And like, what would be your reasons?
I think it would be either Jesus or Salah.
Mm-hmm.
Haaland, I mean, this could be biased because I'm a Newcastle fan, but I think it's okay now to say that Newcastle are quite good.
I would agree. Defensively. Yeah, I would agree.
For a while, it just sounded like bias, but it's two clean sheets from two. It's a tough.
It's
game,
a harder fixture. I would like on the fixture difficulty rating, I would probably bump them up one more than what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they're a much better team. And it's probably not the same Newcastle under Mike Ashley. So it'll probably be way more better and a much more harder game, I'm expecting, for City.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. And I'm sure they'll win. I was at the equivalent match last season. I think it was 4-0 the City, and it was just, it could easily have been so much more. So, you know, whilst it might be a City win, probably will. They will find a way, you'd imagine. I can just see that being a low-scoring game. So they would stick with Salah or Jesus in that respect. Mm-hmm. And Salah against Manchester United is the two meetings last season, 43 points from two matches. Salah, 5 goals, 2 assists. It's kind of incredible. So it's, and combine that with what happened with Man United at Brentford, it does feel like it's all set up for Salah captaincy, but Jesus, Bournemouth weren't expected to beat Villa, and they did, but they should still be targeted, I think.
Yeah, fair enough. For me, I did captain Salah in one of those fixtures, the one he got the hat-trick in early on in the season, being a United fan. But the reason I captained him back then was the form that Liverpool were on, especially he was on as well. Obviously, Liverpool, I still think they will beat United, but they've had a slightly rough start, I would say, compared to previously. And again, I think this will, while United haven't looked good, I think the potential of Salah's points will depend on what lineup is being put out by United. If it's the same backline with no Varane or Malaysia, then I think Salah might have a field day. If not, then I think the result, or at least his points potential, might be lower than what we are expecting.
Yeah, and once when you face a team that's just been heavily defeated, it may not be the best time actually, in a way, because how often do you see two consecutive heavy defeats? I mean, Ten Hag will have them. They were saying the reports that he had them in on Sunday.
Yeah, got them
running the exact length that the Brentford guys did to sort of prove a point. And I think he's probably not a guy you want to annoy too much. So that could see Man United maybe being a bit more on the ball this time, especially with it being Liverpool and at home. There could be a reaction. And as you said, Liverpool's start has been two draws against sides that they would probably be expecting to defeat both times.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on there. Is it a reaction to Mane leaving?
I would probably say a bit unlucky because they've created enough chances. But I'm enjoying it as a United fan, but I'd probably say it's just a bit unlucky. The other thing I would add to is there have been like rumors going online with regards to a potential protest on that game. Now, the game did get postponed last time it happened. So I guess that is something managers might want to consider. And even if you're selecting Salah as a captain, probably select a good vice captain just in case something does happen.
Yes, in that case, don't select a Liverpool captain and vice.
Yes.
Make sure their vice is in a different game.
Yeah.
For sure. All right. Didn't know that. It'll be interesting to see if that happens again, because it was Liverpool last time.
Yeah.
Where it happened.
Oh, no, last time it was at Old Trafford that the game got cancelled. So this time Old Trafford. So we'll see. I don't know. But in terms of Gabriel Jesus, I think he's a pretty good option. And also, I think him and Salah, I think it's probably a pretty close call. But in terms of form, probably Gabriel Jesus and Arsenal probably nick it a bit in terms of just form basis. But a team we haven't spoken about, and maybe we would have thought they would have been a good captaincy option, Spurs against Southampton.
Yeah, they've it's interesting. So Kane was on the verge of starting with two blanks, and then all of a sudden, one hair pull by a teammate later, and he's already on the board for this season. So the facing Wolves at home, I think that's. Wolves have gone from five at the back to four at the back.
Yep.
And don't think.
Oh, yeah, against Wolves. I said Southampton, my bad.
Sorry, well, this it was definitely fear in that Southampton game as a non-Kane owner. Yep. So it was kind of a miracle to see him totally blank. But Wolves, it's hard to really assess what a Wolves is, because I think we've seen various versions of them over the past few years. There was the spell where they were keeping clean sheets every week with Jose Sa, and they were just, it was like, I don't know, six clean sheets from eight games at one point. It was brilliant, but then it sort of tailed off at the end of the season and conceded two of the leads as well. So it is a quite a safe differential captaincy choice, to be fair. I think having Kane or Son captain against Wolves, but I think just in terms of Jesus, he has the players in form, the teams in form, and they have the easier opponent in theory. So
yeah, fair enough.
So sort of all three factors point you towards Jesus, but if for someone who wants to go against the grain a bit. I don't think there's anything wrong with captain and Kane or Son against Wolves.
Yep, fair enough. And then another question is, there'll be many managers who'll be going into this game week with two free transfers. Would it be wise to save one of those transfers for game week 4, given that there are some tough fixtures for teams in game week 3? Like you mentioned, City versus Newcastle, probably a tough fixture. United are playing Liverpool. Chelsea are playing Leeds, that's not that hard, but at the same time, not the easiest as well, I guess, away at the moment for Chelsea.
It's a good point that you bring up, really. The game week 3 fixtures, as great as game week 2 looked on paper for better template assets, game week 3 does look not as obviously.
Yeah.
Great, but at the same time, if you roll a transfer over and have two for game week 4, game week 4 fixtures are really fantastic.
Exactly.
So you probably don't need two that week either. So it could just be rolling, sort of Limp Bizkit style to game week 5. Because game week 4, Liverpool at home to Bournemouth, Arsenal at home to Fulham, Chelsea at home, even Chelsea at home to Leicester is a good fixture. So it purely is a team by team basis. If you can get away with one transfer this week because no one really stands out, and then game week 4 only one because everyone stands out, all of a sudden you're in a good position heading into game week 5, where I think the fixtures do start to turn a little bit.
Yeah. The fixtures do, there's like a time period where the promoted teams also get like better fixtures from, I think, game week 6, 7, around that time as well. And like some of the top teams, their fixtures start to get a bit more harder as well around that time period.
That and the introduction of European football.
Yes. Yep.
So as a combination, that could be a good sort of sliding doors moment. Maybe that's when some people opt to wildcard, but it's a wait and see in that respect.
And then the final question is, are there any differentials who you think would perform great this weekend, who managers could sign up to help them climb up the ranks?
I actually had Wilf Zaha noted down before Monday night's goal.
Okay.
Just because in general, I'm just excited for Palace's fixtures to get better, because I'd really like to get on either him or Eze and maybe one of their defenders, because their underlying stats defensively last year was superb. But we're still not quite there yet. The game week fixture is a good game though. So I think they're against Aston Villa at home. So as a differential, I think Wilf Zaha could work. I think elsewhere, do we count Ivan Toney as a differential?
I guess so. We can probably. I don't think his ownership is that high, if I'm not mistaken. I'm just checking it right now.
I think he's just risen overnight, so
9% still. I guess that's pretty decent, not too high, I would say.
We'll count that. Yeah, we'll count that as a differential. That. Yeah. Toney at Fulham, is a good one. I think the Leicester have Castagna, who should be fairly locked in the team now that Ricardo Pereira's out for a while, unfortunately. So that's a good fixture for them at home at Southampton. Although I guess a lot of people might have gone the Danny Ward route.
Yeah, fair enough.
Probably don't want to have double Leicester there, but such an attacking potential.
Yep.
Really looking at Pascal Gross going forward. Maybe not so much this weekend against West Ham away, which maybe isn't an obvious time to buy him, but certainly from game week 4, they've got Leeds, Fulham, Leicester, Bournemouth in a sequence, which is pretty much as good as it gets, really. So, yeah, there's definitely some options. It'd be interesting with Man City as well if Bernardo... does leave.
Gundogan also seems like a pretty decent option.
Yeah, Gundogan's definitely... I think on the last day of last season, they were sort of preparing for him to leave as a sort of a goodbye, but then things happen. He wins the title for them.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he's the one looking to stay, and Bernardo's the one supposedly leaving. So there are some good differential options for this week, and certainly going forward over the next 4 or 5 weeks. I really like the look of Gross, for example. But who have you picked out?
I like your shout with regards to Zaha, because he did have a good preseason as well. So I think he is probably a pretty good shout. Ivan Toney, like you mentioned, good fixtures upcoming for Brentford. Like a sea of green when you look at their fixtures. So I think he is another good shout. So those are the two I would probably go with at the moment. Pascal Gross, I think this is where, when I asked the previous question with regards to, do you maybe save that extra free transfer and wait in game week 4? Because then maybe then you can probably move Pascal Gross and someone else as well, depending on what you want to do in terms of squad structure as well.
Yeah, is I suppose it's probably not wise to buy a player and then immediately bench him.
Yeah.
When you intend for the next week, so there's plenty of time for that to go wrong. So yeah, it might be better to save a Gross transfer rather than do it now. But yeah, he's another example of someone who has a tough-ish game week 3, but has it great afterwards.
Yep, fair enough. And that's basically it we have. So thank you for your time today, Mark. Do you have anything to plug?
Nope, not really. Just give me a follow on Twitter at Mark Jobling FPL. That's Mark with a C. It's been a problem for years, but it's Mark with a C. Just that really. And thanks for having me on, Ryan.
No worries. Thank you. So that's it for this week's Scout the Game Week. I'll be back next time to look back on Game Week 3 and ahead to Game Week 4. Green arrows all.